It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Subject line of this email. Clyde gone gay. Judging from Clyde's call today, it's obvious to me that Clyde would choose the option to cuddle and sip champagne nakedly. That's N-E-K-K-I-D-L-Y. On a bearskin rug with Thor. With Rick, will you please take me out with an I'm all up in his grill? All right, thank you. No, I don't even think I have that. Oh, wait. Do I?
I'm all up in his grill.
All right, that's the only time I'm going to do that. Never request that again. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, somebody emailed me about that sound that we just played. Let's see.
Were they mad at you?
Well, they are, actually, but not...
It's for Homer Simpson.
Not for the reasons you might... Is it, though?
Yeah.
It sounds like that. Let's see.
Pretty sure.
Let's see. Here's a guy that wants to be tased. Do I even have this? No. Somebody was claiming that it's actually not Italian, that it's like Spanish or something, though. And I thought it was just sort of made up. I mean, I didn't think it was actually...
I'm all up in his grill.
I wasn't even sure that it was really a language. I thought it was just a bunch of gibberish. But that's the sounder for Carol the Token Italian, and somebody claimed that it wasn't. It's not even actually Italian, it's Spanish. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Inexplicably, there are still sex change calls to get to. Here's what's coming up. We got the Week in Geek. Stormwatch at some point today. More from the City Desk with Tim Riley. Ed McCarthy is going to be joining us later on to talk about this guy in Boulder who clearly did not have anything to do with JonBenet, but is dominating the news nonetheless because we're all lowest common denominator pinheads. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this morning Stephanie Miller described John Carr as a transsexual Lee Harvey Oswald at Ed Grimley pants. It's totally true. And everybody has noted that's the one defining trait of this guy that everybody has noted, which is he's got his pants all the way up to his nipples. It's all very strange. Portland also number one with most library cards. How about this? Rick. Oh, Rick, you're totally cheating on your guarantees count. You had Chris come on the show. You listed the things you would try to get to today. Everything seemed fine. And then you slip in an extra Clyde Lewis and Ed McCarthy guarantees after Chris has already hung up the phone. Do Clyde and Ed count as items on the list? Does Chris know he's getting duped? Quit cheating, you bastard. No, because even if I get to them, they don't count because they weren't on the list of things that I told him I was going to get to. So because they were not part of the official guarantees, I get no credit for having them, for having gotten to them. Rick, my dog, here we go, charming dog story. My dog woke my wife and I by nudging my nose and whining after she and I did not wake up when our carbon monoxide alarm was going off. He saved our lives and got to nap on the bed after his reward bone. Let's see a lame-ass cat do that. There's no case anywhere. Of a cat ever saving anybody from anything. Ever. Storm emails. The Storm thing. Here's the thing about Storm, and then we'll get to these phone calls, and then we probably have to break, and then we'll come back with the Week in Geek and Ed McCarthy. So what can I reveal and what can't I? I'm going through this in my head. So I can tell you. So our good friend Davey Neeples, who is the musical director for The Balls and Storm's significant other. So I can tell you that he went down this weekend because I know this weekend they opened up because they do this big party that we've heard, you know, Sunday night at the mansion after the taping. So I think he went down, he watched the taping, and then I think this weekend was a big significant other party where everybody, you know, they were all sort of invited. So he went down this weekend, he saw the taping of the show, he was at the party Sunday night, and... anyway, so he said that and I don't know any details about the show or what she sings or whatever because he's still not able to reveal any of those to us. But I will be curious to know how things are kind of unfolding with her because I don't watch any of the webisodes, but I know you do and my wife does. And all I will say is this. And if you are a reality TV viewer, see, here's the thing, is that it seems like they've been setting Delana up to be the bad guy. And I don't know whether she really is or whether it's just because they're editing it that way.
I guess the webisode this week, she's very conniving and I don't know, just every week she gets progressively meaner and...
Somebody sent me an email, they said, if you, and they didn't, no spoilers, they didn't tell me what happened, but they said if you want to hate Delana even more, watch this week's webisode. So I don't know what she does, I don't know whether it's another...
I do, I read all the spoilers.
See, but it's like, do I want to know, do I want you to tell me?
Yes.
Okay. I have no independent thought. I do not need to see your identification. All right, so without spoiling what Storm sings,
yeah,
because I don't think I want to know that. What does Delana do this week that makes her so hateable?
I guess they're all on the red carpet talking to the media and whatnot, and everyone else plays nice and says how much they love, you know, everyone else.
All this love in the room.
Exactly, and Delana just slags everyone to the press saying how she was talking to Storm and Storm hated the Supernova song and how Lucas is... two-faced, and she said she just had something negative, supposedly, I haven't seen it, but something bad to say about everybody. And that's how Jason Newsted said not to be with the press.
Well, that's the thing. See, it's like, and you...
And that's why that Pat, what was his name? Oh, the guy who got kicked off for saying negative things.
Was it Josh?
Yeah.
Josh that got booted because Dave Navarro, that whole thing about, do you get the newspaper? Because we do.
Yeah.
And then he pulled it out.
Well, and I guess they don't even bring it up on the show tomorrow.
What's very telling that she would...
All the message boards are pissed
off. It's telling that she would take a shot at Storm and at Lucas, because that means that she's aware of who her two biggest competitors are. So every time they pick Delana for anything, they always cut to Lucas, and you can always see how pissed off that guy is. And I feel like a dupe that I'm being taken in by all of these reality show machinations. Because here's the thing, is that, and Laura and I was talking about this last night, and she's actually at work today, or I would actually have her call in and speculate on this. But, see, because I know that with these reality shows, all of them, not just Rockstar Supernova, I know that they edit these things to a certain end. In other words, you know, they film these guys all week and then they boil it down to whatever. How long are the webisodes? Like half an hour?
Yeah, about like 25 minutes.
Yeah, so I mean, they're filming them for 6 days. They boil it down to half an hour. And even the reality segments they show on Tuesday and Wednesday night, those are taken from, you know, several hours and hours and hours of taping. So you got to figure that they can edit them to show whatever they want. And Lara's whole thing is that there are several known reality television arcs that they create through editing. There is the redemption arc, which is where someone, you know, seems to be on the outs, or they've done really badly, or it looks like they're about to get ready to boot it, and then they will do the big come from behind victory. And then there's the, you know, someone turns from good to evil arc, where somebody that you thought was a great person becomes a villain arc. And that's what's happening with Delana right now. And so my question is, And I realize this sounds so just retarded and navel-gazing, but so if you are a reality television viewer, because I'm really not, seeing, so I'm hobbled, because when it comes to Rockstar Supernova, not watching a lot of reality shows, especially sort of ones that are based on personal conflict, like Big Brother or Survivor or anything like that, I'd be curious to know, based on how reality shows typically function and operate, what they're kind of setting us up for. In other words, at this point in a reality show, based on how all of these shows sort of follow their character development arcs, what's going to happen now? And that's the thing, I have no ability to speculate on that because I'm just not much of a reality watcher.
Well, what all the message board people are speculating on is that if they don't bring up the Delana thing, then she's a shoo-in. But if they do, they're just setting her up to fall. But for a fact, they've already taped, you know, tomorrow's show, and it's saying they didn't bring it up at that show, but maybe they'll bring it up on Wednesday.
They didn't bring it up as she was being a real whore?
Yeah, they didn't bring it up at all.
All right. Somebody noted something last week that I did not notice, but I went back and watched, and it's completely true. Our friend Stephen Catherine noted this, that if you watch Delana's performance with the band last week, because that whole program is it's shot on high-quality video. If you go back and watch Delana's performance with Supernova, it's not on video. It's on film. It's shot differently. It's lit differently than anything else that happens in the show. So, in other words, you know what I mean? Because, you know, when you watch that show everybody kind of sitting in the peanut gallery and they're performing one after the other on Tuesday nights, it's all just shot with video cameras. But when Delana went to perform a Supernova, suddenly it looked like a video, that it was shot on film, which gives it a better, more high-quality look. And so the theory is that they've already picked Delana to be the winner, and that the reason that Delana was being shown performing Supernova on film instead of on video is they've already got an eye towards making that some sort of a DVD compilation or putting it on some sort of a...
That's so true.
But putting on some sort of a box set or whatever.
Yeah, I just want our Storm to come back to us and get Delana to go with that lame-ass supergroup. Like, I... It's just going to be a one-trick pony. Storm, she has so much going for her now just for doing this contest.
I'll end up with a recording contract anyway.
It's true. It's going to benefit her regardless. But I'm torn between not wanting her, and I hate to even say this. That's the whole thing. It's like I don't want to get her on the phone and say to her, like, well, I hope you come in second. I mean, it's like we're supposed to talk to Storm later today, and I was like, I don't think I can say that because you don't want to, because you want her to win. Well, that's the thing is you can't tell her. Like, well, we're kind of hoping you don't win.
Do you think we can tell her what's going on with Zelana?
No, I think if we do, I think if we try.
What if I talk to you about it, but don't say it specifically to her? What if I say, well, Rick, do you remember that webisode when Zelana's flagging Storm?
Then a hairy arm will come in the room and pull the phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know that that's the thing is, when we talk to Storm, we're not just, I've lost all pretense that we're not just wallowing around on this, because we are. But I know that when we talk to Storm, I know that there's stuff she can't say to us, because there is literally, and Davey's told us this, there's literally someone from CBS there, like with their finger on the kill switch. It's like when you're talking to somebody in prison, and as soon as I've hidden the file inside and then it's just the call gets terminated. So there's somebody from CBS there every time we talk to Storm, and I know if she tries to tell us stuff that's not directly related to anything on the air, I know that they will steer her away from it, and if she does it again, they'll terminate the call. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the same about stuff we tell her. I would imagine it is. I think if we try to sneak in anything to Storm about what we know that she doesn't, I would imagine that the person from CBS will give her the hairy eyeball. And she'll have to stop it.
Les Moonves probably has a butt right next to a cigar box in the top drawer of his desk.
Seriously, Sumner Redstone has a big kill switch on his desk. So I don't know. But my point is, it's like we can't get her on the air and tell her, like, well, we're rooting for you to pull second place, because I'm really not. See, and that's not even really true. It's not even true to say that I don't want Storm to win. That's not true at all, because just as much as part of me realizes that second place would be fantastic, she'll still get a lot of exposure, she's not chained to this pack of freaks for a year. You know, part of me, though, just because we love Storm because she's from Portland, part of me wants her to just kick everybody else's ass and just win, because as dopey as it sounds, because if she wins, then it's like, ha, good for us. Then it's a vicarious thrill for us that she's defeated everybody else. So I don't know. I get really torn about the whole thing. Let's see. Well, by God, let's take some more sex change calls, and then we'll break here. Who could have seen at 12 o'clock today that in the space of about an hour and 20 minutes, we were going to have microphone difficulties, a dead cat, and endless calls about sex change operations? Jesse, hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
I got the information you're looking for the sex change stuff.
Let's clarify. When you call up and say, Rick, I've got that information you're looking for about sex change operations, this is idle speculation here on this program. There's just things I am curious about simply because I'm a curious person by nature. This is an academic interest only.
All right. Well, yeah. I always want to imply that you're curious about a sex change to get one, but...
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, what information do you have, sir?
The reason people go to Thailand or go to Mexico to get sex change operations is because in the States, it takes a really long time. You have to do hormone therapy. You have to see a therapist. They don't want to just switch you over and then have you regret it. So it's a really long process.
So you can't just go 0 to 60 in like a week. You have to.
This is more of an express line.
You have to dress up and drag for a certain amount of time and live your life like that. And then you start with the hormone therapy and then breast. And then the last thing you do is the changing out
the plumbing.
So
if you go to like Mexico, it's sort of like that nine items or less aisle at Safeway. Mm-hmm. It's like the U scan at Fred Meyer. Just go right through. How do you know
this? Thank you for shopping with us.
thank you for having your penis removed here. How do you know this, sir?
You're right. Portland is the most, or was a couple of years ago, had the most transsexuals in the U.S. And there's a couple that come into the bar that I work at with regular basis. So
all right, okay.
A friend of mine.
Interesting. And so, yeah, because in America, they make it like if you're a man and you want to become a woman, they make you live as a woman. They make you be a transvestite, essentially, a cross-dresser for like a year, right?
Yeah. That's why when you see, you know, somebody's obviously a guy but wearing a dress and kind of...
They're in the preparatory stages.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you do hormone therapy, which lets you grow bosoms. And
gets rid of the hair and all that stuff.
Gets rid of your hair, and I believe it raises your voice and so forth. Do they do a thing to raise your voice, or is that a thing where you just have to start talking like this?
I think there's some hormones that do that to an extent, but it doesn't really.
Interesting.
You don't end up really sounding like a woman.
That's interesting. There's so much more. There's so much more that I want to know about this, but I think it would be. There's just, and I think at a certain point it just begins to sound weird if I'm just steering the program towards a sex change.
It sounds like it's all about ratings.
I know they eventually can shave down the Adam's apple too.
Shave down the Adam's apple.
How many cases of that are there?
Oh,
I don't even know what that phrase means. I mean, I guess I know what you're talking about, but I don't know. Okay, well, here's a question. No, let me ask you this. I don't really. Tim is actually clutching his throat with a painful look on his face, sort of like when you're watching a movie and you see a guy get kicked in the junk, and you're sort of like in Snakes in a Plane when that guy's in the lavatory. What is poetry? No, what is your Adam's apple? Does anyone know?
It's cartilage, I thought.
But I mean, what does it do? Why is it there?
Oh, I don't know.
Why does a man have one and a woman doesn't?
Well, they both have them, but on a male, it's more predominant.
That's just one of those things that you've seen your whole life, but it never even occurred to you to ask what the hell that thing even is. Shaving it down, that doesn't sound pleasant.
No, sounds
like some guy's opening you up and whittling you down like you're a stick. All right, well, thank you. All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's Jesse. Good God. What kind of a radio program is this?
I'm writing to Davey to see if we can tell Storm.
Oh. Eh. Well, see if he can come on. See if he can call in for a couple minutes.
Okay.
I know that he's a little busy, but if he can't, that's not a big deal. I don't want him to feel like we're pressuring him to do it. But I mean, if he could, I really am torn with that whole rock star thing between wanting her to win because she's Storm and you want her to kick everybody's ass. You want her to beat everybody's ass and be the last one standing. On the other hand, you feel like, you know, maybe second place is as good as first in some ways, if not better. Mm-hmm. So she's not going to be chained to Gilby Clark for 18 months, you know?
Well, if it becomes uncomfortable, you can tell her Portland's talking about sex change operations today.
What are your thoughts on that? Oh, God. All right. Well, Sarah, let's break here. It's 503-733-2970. We come back, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We'll talk about this freak in Boulder in the JonBenet Ramsey case. Later on, we have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Well, Stormwatch, Week in Geek. And we'll have new sounders from the mind of Scotty J. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, Stormwatch. We'll be talking to Storm Large at the Rockstar Supernova Mansion and so forth. Was that Davey you were just talking to?
That was Davey. He's still in L.A.
Is there anything you can reveal to us?
Storm is aware.
What does that mean?
It means that she knows about Delana.
Oh, that she knows that Delana will will see her next Tuesday?
He said that he filled her in and that Delana, it's become very apparent to everybody that Delana is no friend anymore.
All right. Can you tell you anything else?
Yes, I'll be there.
Fantastic. Oh, see, we can't see that. We're being those people.
No, he actually told me that he'd tell me tomorrow night at Dante's. So.
Listen to you forward from it. Well, he'll be telling us tomorrow night at Dante's. Don't forget, tomorrow, now it's 10 o'clock tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Because it's something with kids.
But go early so you can watch the reality show and see what we're talking about.
All right. It's 503-733-2970 coming up later on. Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin. We'll have the Week in Geek. And I have some new sounders from Scotty J that we'll be playing as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta, but now relocated. Well, you are on location in Boulder, right, Ed?
Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado. And so you are there covering this whole JonBenet Ramsey thing with this freak car who now, is he there yet or is he in Los Angeles right now? Where is this guy right now?
He's in Los Angeles and he's going to have that extradition hearing tomorrow. So he will be advised of charges on that warrant, his rights and all of that regarding extradition to Colorado. And I'll tell you what, I hope they send them here really fast, because that would be good news for me.
Because are you not enjoying the Boulder culture?
Yeah, not really. It's all right. I think I'd probably go mad if I just kept looking at mountains all the time.
Boulder, Colorado seems like a very white and uninteresting place to me. It's sort of, I've never been there, but it seems a lot like living in Salt Lake City was. It just seems like it's a whole lot of nothing going on there.
Yeah, you know, I think your biggest thing is you probably get bowled over by a bicycle. You know?
I mean, really? So this guy, John Mark Carr, he was in Bangkok, now he's in L.A., and they're going to bring him there. And I mean,
you know, you heard this whole thing, how they wined and dined him on the plane.
Well, that doesn't... See, and I don't really care about that because...
I don't either. And they made the breaking news. They were putting these fonts up on TV. That was like a big deal, you know?
Well, to me, the whole thing is, as I was... We had a friend of mine, Clyde, who was on earlier, was talking about this, and he was complaining. And I said, you know, that it's a lot easier to convict a guy who's cooperating with you. And a guy who is not in an adversarial relationship with you, you know, you're going to get more out of that guy, whether they convict him on this or whether they just convict him of some other general freakdom. It's going to be a lot easier if he's sort of working with them. And, you know, if that means they have to put him in first class and give him extra leg room, I don't really care about that.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. They're probably, they're kind of priming them to talk. So we'll see what happens.
I guess my question, well, first of all, of the people who are currently running this JonBenet Ramsey case, because it's been 10 years now, whether it's the DA or whether it's whoever, how many of these people were on this case originally, or the people who are kind of running this, is it a whole new batch of folks?
Whole new batch of people, and boy, I'll tell you what, they're tight-lipped as can be.
Well, it doesn't seem like they're learning from their mistakes a whole lot, because, and again, I'm the first to admit that the authorities know stuff that I don't know, obviously, but it doesn't look a lot from the outside like this is going to end up being a whole handful of nothing, and these guys are going to be hosed?
Yeah, it really does, and I just don't know where they're going with this thing. You know, first of all, the DNA deal, you know, that's going to be the big telling point. But the other one I'm not so sure about is you keep hearing about this email where he describes in detail the gruesome details of the crime scene, and I just don't know. But then again, he could have probably picked that up from some documentary somewhere. And even though the investigators are saying, well, they were the only ones who knew, or the medical examiner.
Well, yeah, you know what? I didn't kill Nicole Brown Simpson, but I can probably describe the crime scene and how it happened, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just one of
those
things.
That's a good point right there.
And so the question is, if they get this guy there and it ends up, as I think is probably going to be the case, if he's just nothing, are all of these people who have tied themselves now to this case going to be out on their ear?
That's a good question. I don't know. We'd have to find out. I mean, it's just a... You know, when you get the district attorney in there, they get voted in. So, we'll see what happens.
Are they going to try to get this guy on anything else, too? Or is this the whole, is it like a swinging for the fences deal, where if they don't get him on JonBenet, he's going to... In other words, is he going to walk if they don't get him on this?
It kind of looks like they're swinging for the fences now, because the latest on this thing is that California officials withdrew that separate outstanding warrant against him on possession of child pornography. So that means that he would not have to be kept in California. I thought that would be your ace in the hole if they wanted to keep him.
But now, is that because he didn't have any, or they've just decided that it's not worth it to try him on that?
They don't want to try him on it because they want to get him to Colorado.
Ah, I see. So this is sort of this reminds me a lot of O.J. and the Ronnie King case to a certain degree, where the prosecution screwed themselves by overreaching and going for the one huge, massive home run conviction, which they couldn't ever get, instead of some smaller things, which they probably could have gotten the guy stuck away on.
That's it.
That's exactly what this is. So the bottom line is that if they end up not being able to get this guy on JonBenet Ramsey, which I don't think they would, it seems to me like even a quasi-competent public defender could probably get this guy up at this point, that he's just going to be, as they say, just out walking the streets again.
Could be. Probably looking for another teaching job, you know?
Well, there's... You know, there's probably several other countries that he hasn't tried yet, so...
There you go.
I think one way or the other, it seems like this guy is going to be providing us with a lot of entertainment and news coverage for many, many, many weeks to come.
Oh, I think so. And, this thing is going to be just about a three-minute deal when he gets in here to Boulder, so we'll see what happens. They're probably going to fly him into this little airport, which is actually right across the street from the jail.
Well, that's handy. There you go. All they need to do is put a cemetery there and have Clint Eastwood as mayor or something. I think this would be fine. Should be like that town in Fistful of Dollars.
There you are.
All right.
That's right.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Rick.
All right. There you go. Talk to you soon. There's a CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. That guy just sounds beaten. That guy just sounds
really bored.
Sounds it. Well, what is there to do in Boulder? Really, there's just a whole lot of nothing. Once you've seen the once you've seen them work in Mindy House, that's the end of it. Your time.
Oh,
in,
where was that?
I have no idea. I don't even know if it's in Boulder. I'm just saying there's got to be a finite number of things to do there to occupy your time. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We have Storm Large coming up. Later on, we have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher Delta, one of the corridor, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley reporting. From Canby comes word, a rodeo rider in the Clackamas County Fair was flown to a Portland hospital after the bull stepped on his head.
Oh! Where was this, Canby?
Yeah, at the Clackamas County Fair.
Canby, I barely knew ye.
He's only 18 years old. His name is Tyler Durham.
I'm just reaching there. I'm sorry.
He's in serious condition after the bull stepped on his head.
That's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. All right. When did this
Over the weekend.
Oh,
and this
man.
Is, you know, billed as a family friendly.
Well, of course. Do you ever go to rodeos?
No, because no.
Not even. Listen to that. Yeah, the best part that when you said no, which
I can feel the bull's pain on
how your nose kind of wrinkled up as though you were being asked to smell rancid sauce of some kind. No, here's the thing about rodeos. When I go to rodeos, I root for the animal, and I think that's probably what separates me from most people. Yeah, most people they go to rodeos and stay on kick. Kick the animal in the junk, not me. When I go to rodeos, I root for the animal to step on the cowboy. Now, how'd you like to be shoved in a box and have a big rubber band put around a sensitive part of your anatomy and then be kicked repeatedly by some redneck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, some guy gets kicked...
Sponsored by some chewing tobacco to make it all worse.
Exactly. Some guy gets kicked in the face by a horse, fine with me. I just hope children in the front row to witness it. That's my whole thing.
But there are plenty of children there. So.
Even at K-Hay, you didn't have to go to rodeos?
I don't believe so. I just went to a chili event.
Was there a cook-off?
It was.
Was it fantastic?
Remember when we had that one at Fisher?
No, I filled everyone.
When
the
we had one?
The chili cooking contest?
No.
Oh, yeah.
When?
Like 4 years ago.
At Fisher?
Yeah. And Jolie made the best chili ever.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Not hallucinating.
I don't remember that one.
I'm not crazy. You must believe me.
Well, you don't eat meat, so.
Oh, that's true.
Was this
you and I were eating cups of chili. I remember this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Was this at the station, or was this at an event somewhere?
No, it was at the station. I think it was for 4th of July or something.
In no way do I remember this.
Okay.
All right. My parents used to drag me to the rodeo, man, though, every summer, because the stupid Benton Franklin County Fair would happen, and it's like they never... And do you ever notice this, too, when you're a kid, that your parents never believe you when you say that you don't like something? When you're a child, or a child... As some people say, when you are a child and you say that you don't like something, you are assumed to either be lying or somehow stupid and incapable of discerning what you do and do not enjoy. Like, your parents just figured you can't possibly really know. And so, like, when your mom will try to shovel some gruel down your throat, here, have this gruel. Mom, it tastes horrible. I'll just keep eating it. It's fine. Like, the idea that you've actually tasted it and that you are able to tell whether or not you enjoy something is just completely foreign to parents. So my dad would, and I haven't talked about this, my dad would drag me into all of this, like, outdoor stuff that I just, you know, whatever. And people are into the outdoor. Like, my wife just spent the last week on top of Mount Rainier. Fine. Not for me. Not for me. And God bless her. She understands that it's not for me. We have an understanding.
Well, you're an indoor person.
We really had to draw that line of demarcation earlier, because I am not that guy. I want to go float in a boat somewhere.
We'll never read about you lost in the woods after leaving the trail.
I'm not going to be off the trail. You're not going to see me. They're not going to find me frozen on a mountain in a crevasse somewhere, huddled over for warmth. They're not going to be finding me somewhere having to eat the feet of one of my companions because we've gotten lost on a glacier. It's not going to happen. But my dad just didn't believe it somehow. And my dad was of the opinion he could just beat it into me by repeatedly taking me to things that I didn't want any part of. So, you know, whether it was hunting or whether it was whatever, or in this case, going to the freaking rodeo. And there's nothing less interesting to me sitting there on some splintery bleachers while dust blows around in the air, watching a guy kick a horse in the testicles. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. The only exciting moments of those rodeos...
Charlie Daniels sings.
But it wasn't Charlie Daniels.
Oh, what?
It would be like local performer, you know, singing a Charlie Daniels song.
With very special guests.
Exactly. While a lot of women in the audience were like really bad cowboy hats that had that spinner art done on them. You know what I'm talking about? And then with like some sort of a fluorescent, like feathery boa thing entwined through the hat straw.
And the Mufon from the 1960s.
Exactly. So that's it. The only exciting moments were when an animal would kick a rider off and then step on his ribcage.
That's what people actually go for, don't they?
That's what I go for. But see, now I don't actually need to go. I can just read about these stories in the news. So there you go. Way to go to the animal. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about some heartwarming cat stories, shall we, since that is our favorite animal. A Cottage Grove woman has taught her cats to swim. She decided her cats needed to swim as a safety precaution since she has a pool in her yard. So Mary Ellen took the felines one by one and dipped them into the pool. The cats took to the water almost immediately and learned quickly. Now, not only do they know how to swim, they have no problem finding their way out of the pool.
There's some joke
they
here.
They use their tiny tongues to lick themselves dry, so there's no need to towel dry these kittens.
Sarah, do you have a joke?
I'm thinking of that girl, that woman that... Never mind.
What?
It's terrible. No, it's too bad to say. I know what you're thinking about.
I don't know. I'm thinking that...
She put them in the water one by one.
Oh, you're making it... You're thinking of Andrea Yates. That's a terrible thing, Sarah Dillon.
No, I wasn't.
You were. That's exactly what you were thinking right now.
I cannot believe the way your mind
you were going to say you were the you were going to say she's the Andrea Yates of the cat world. That's exactly what you were going to say. Doesn't Tom do a take me out Andrea Yates style?
Yes.
All right. That's not what I was going to say at all. I'm just saying we had
to get some life preservers. I put Muppet in one.
We started this program today with a phone call from Mailman Chris, who's the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. And I made the foolish mistake, if somewhat understandable, of saying, how was your weekend? It turns out that Chris's weekend went poorly. Largely because a cat, which was a family pet, vanished. And then was found sealed inside an airtight cooler. The kind that you might take on a picnic. It really has never been adequately explained, I mean, not to my satisfaction, and I think probably not to Sarah's either, exactly how the cat is able to seal a cooler after itself. Now, I don't really know what your experience is with a cooler, but they've got like a lid that is detachable, right? That sort of seems like a two-person operation.
And
like,
even the swinging ones, I mean, they don't seem like they go down with a lot of force.
Well, and especially if the cat's only a year old. Like, how big...
And you would think there'd be some safety sticker inside of this thing.
One of those, like, glow-in-the-dark escape handles. How big can a cat be when it's a year of age? And how much movement can it really... Like, on a big cooler? You know, it's like, how much can it really be moving to actually close the lid and to seal it behind
itself?
It
seemed to give up quite easily.
Where's the cat stick-to-itiveness?
If he's moving around a lot, couldn't he move enough to knock it over?
Or rattle it and vibrate it.
The cat's on fault. The cat was asking for it. All I'm saying is, and so now that Tim had this story about a woman teaching her cats to swim one by one,
Yes. And
it just seemed like there was some joke there about teaching and then the cat and then the cooler somehow. But it's all, it's all gone. I can't figure out where to go with that. Pleased to be calling with your appropriate jokes. Now, since my humor has apparently failed me on this score, here's Tim Riley.
Polygamous children speak. Youth from polygamous communities spoke of family, friendship, and faith, and hopes for the future in the historic gathering in Salt Lake City in defense of their band lifestyle. They offered words of encouragement and provided glimpses of their lives and appealed to the public to stop fearing them. We are not brainwashed, mistreated, neglected, malnutritious, illiterate, defective, or dysfunctional, said 17-year-old Jessica. We are useful, responsible, productive members of society.
Trustworthy, courteous, clean, kind, and brave. All right, there you go.
Bob Seger turned the page. The Metallica family filed justice for online fans. Now only a few remaining big-name music acts refuse to sell their songs on iTunes. Among the holdouts, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Garth Brooks, Radiohead, Kid Rock. Probably can't afford iTunes forever as fans flock to the Internet to buy music. When will they change their mind?
I don't know. Here's the thing about that is that the only artists that refuse to sell their music on iTunes now, and the Beatles are the perfect example, are the artists that you really... Like, when is the last time anybody went to the store because they needed to buy more Beatles music? Or Bob Seger, for that matter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Who wakes up at them? You know, I just haven't heard Turn the Page enough. I need to go buy it. I need to be able to hear it again. All the time. I need to be able to put on Kathmandu over and over and over again.
It's one of those songs everyone can agree on in the office.
Thank you. There's no rap or heavy metal. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
I was calling about the cooler.
Yes.
They sell new ones that for camping and stuff that you just even barely nudge it, and when it shuts, it seals itself.
Ah, so this is so it just swings shut and so forth.
Yep.
All right. I see. When he first described it, my first thought was those PSAs they used to run about taking the doors off of refrigerators, because there would always be some, you know, there was always some after school special about like some guy who would throw away a refrigerator and he would just leave it in an alley behind his house, and then there was always a hide and seek game going on right near the refrigerator, and it was just a whole series of steps, all of which ended with some incredibly dumb kid deciding that a refrigerator was a thing that he should hide inside of. So there was when I was growing up during the 80s, this whole thing that swept the country about how children are apparently being killed by the thousands by hiding inside refrigerators. And it does seem...
How the kids are telling their time machines and hop right in?
Well, I mean, it seems like if that's how what do you spend your time doing? Reading? What do you spend your time doing? Well, I play with dolls and watch television. What do you spend your time doing? I hide inside abandoned refrigerators. It seems like perhaps that's a parenting issue. That's less of a mechanical issue than it is of a reproductive issue.
They need a little more time at the rodeo and a few less minutes in the refrigerator.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And there you go. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's that time once again.
Attention residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
Gentlemen, we had her and I think we lost her there. Is she back? All right, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, we had her there for a moment, and just put it on hold and I'll pick it back up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the one and only Storm Large. How are you, sister?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. How's life in the big rock star mansion?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful, beautiful day with sirens and chaos going on around me down the hill. But who cares? I'm up here and it's nice.
There is chaos.
You got to see your Davy.
I was going
to
say there's chaos everywhere. Yeah.
It was so nice. I still have bruises.
That's love storm style. That's the storm we've missed. I think we can talk about this a little bit, I believe, because I think this is one that was sort of not open to the public, but I mean, it's open. You guys have these parties or these VIP parties that happen on Sunday after the taping, and I think now for the first time last night, I think you guys were able to invite your significant others and so forth, and he was able to attend a taping and all that. Is that true? Can you talk about that a little bit? Or?
Oh, absolutely. And just for the record, Lee Williams is going to get the spanking of his life when I get back. I heard the article is awesome. The Sunday Oregonian.
It's
I heard
huge.
It was great.
Yeah, I heard about it. I haven't read it, but I saw it.
Yeah, well, he talks very, very clearly about my relationship and quite graphically and things that our families don't know about, and so.
What?
I just got through the first page.
Hold
I didn't
on.
Read the whole thing.
Where's
it?
Someone find the Oregonian for me.
Got it.
So it's like 11 pages long.
Okay, here's
a huge picture spread too.
Well, I feel like a bad friend actually because somebody told me about it and then I meant to read it and then I just never.
Benwell pulled it for me.
Well, I don't look. No offense to Peter Carlin,
sure,
but I don't read it.
11 pages. Oh my God, Storm is so awesome, and oh my God, we had such a good time, and oh my God, and this is so cool, and oh my God, these people are so cool, because Lee is such an exciting. He's such an excited, happy, and really enthusiastic and really exuberant personality. And he was having such a wonderful time, and he loved it so much. And but he basically announced to the world that Davey and I are engaged, and we're not officially engaged. And so all day, Davey was getting really angry telephone calls from his family and my
Why
family.
Didn't you tell us?
Exactly. We're not officially engaged. I said, absolutely. I was like, oh, absolutely I'm going to marry that guy. That guy's fantastic. I love him. And he gets me, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, we got some angry family members. So if you guys are listening, Laprenzi and Amato Clan and the Larges, yeah, I'm sorry, nothing's set in stone.
You should know that only we're allowed to exploit your personal life, Storm.
Exactly, exactly, and I appreciate that.
Well, I got to tell you, that just a flashback a couple weeks, when you did the Dramarama song, Anything, Anything, which has that line about, if you just marry me, marry me, I got so many emails. Because you had made some remark previous. You're like, oh, this song is going out from me to Davey and whatever. And I got all of these emails like, is that a proposal? Did she propose on nationwide TV? That's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah. So, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well, all right
but
then.
But it's not official. He's got to do the knee thing. He's got to talk to my dad. He's got to... I'm old-fashioned, you know.
Does he have to bring your dad?
I'm an ass-kicking Amazon, but I'm a little tiny petite flower of innocence as well.
Does he have to bring your dad like a fatted calf and three goats or something? Sir, my tribe wishes to have Storm for our very own.
Here's three camels.
All right, well, let's...
How are you? How's everything going?
Everything's going great. I'm having a really good time. It's getting intense because the longer we go, the closer we all get.
The cattier people get.
And seeing people leave just sucks worse and worse every week.
Now, you showed up in the bottom three, they said, at one point. Brooke did that thing with her one inflection that she's got. No, and she says this exactly the same way every week, so I'm able to repeat it. I'm able to, like,
do it.
Where she says, you know, this is because she can't really act and doesn't really have a personality, and so she does this thing where she says, but as the night went on, the voting changed. Like, that's the same thing every week. And then for the first time, they claimed that at some point during the night, you ended up in the bottom three. And your reaction to it was fantastic, by the way, which is just to stand up and give that kind of low fist pull and like a, yeah, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I wanted to sing again. I'm used to singing 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week.
I got to tell you.
And I only get to sing like once or twice a week, and it's a bummer. I'm like, yeah, put me in the bottom three. I want to play.
Last week, we talked to Nate Morton, who's the drummer for the house band.
I heard. How did you get Nate's number?
I'm people who knows people, sister.
I love him, by the way. I'm stealing him. I adore Nate.
I gotta tell you, I don't think I'm breaking any rules here to say that he digs you, too. He speaks very, very highly and very glowingly of you. And we asked him, I said, I almost got him to say it, too. I said, hey, so do you know what Storm's elimination song would be if/when she's ever in the bottom three? And he said, oh, yeah, she's going to sing. And then he came within like half a second, and then he caught himself, that bastard. He almost said it. I almost pulled it out of him. So you can go ahead and tell us what it is, Storm.
Oh, okay. I will. As soon as I have to do it. Right.
So I don't know to what extent, and you'll just have to tell us, we kind of feel our way through this landmine of what you can talk about and what you can't. But it does seem to the outside observer as though maybe the relationships are becoming a little more raw between certain people on the show as you guys get closer to the brass ring.
I would think so. There are people who are absolutely diehard, competitive, aggressive, and, you know, really want that gold ring and really want to sing for Supernova. All of us really want to sing for Supernova, but some of us are a little more competitive in terms of, like, pushing themselves ahead of the pack by pushing others back or down. And a lot of us here aren't into that, and we don't do that, and if, myself included, and if I lose the gig because I'm not going to, you know, slam people behind their back or, you know, talk smack or try to ingratiate myself to the elders or whoever, you know, I'm not, you know, that's not me. It's like, look, I know I'm good enough for the gig. If you want me, you got me. If you don't, cool beans. Thanks for the ride. It was a great time.
Well, I'm glad you know because, yeah, I don't know, like, how much behind the scenes you know, but there's
lot of crap talking that I have heard reference to, names included.
It's all true.
But I'm not going to go there. That's not me.
Good for you.
Do you think it bugs the guys in Supernova that you're just that you just have such a big brass pair about it that you just obviously do not give an F whether they pick you or not?
No, it doesn't bug them. I had a really good talk with Gilby Clark early on, and he's a really gruff, really straightforward man's man. He loves sports. He's really straightforward. He's got everything invested in this band, and he said to me straight up, he's like, you know what, I get it. You know, you're not going to take it personally. You're professional. You're awesome. You got what it takes. You know, you might not be right for the gig, but, you know, I get you. You know, I know you're going to be fine, you know. And it's true. They're not offended by that. They love that they can hold me up by my ankles and spank me with a belt, and I just laugh and look at them and go, you hit like a girl.
That's going to be mental fodder for many of our male listeners for the next five or six days, just so you know.
Well, here's something for the listeners out there. I know you didn't like watching me get slammed.
That,
for the record, it was really... For the record, it was really dumb. I was hungover and exhausted. It was dumb of me to pick that song, first of all. Let's get that out of the way straight away. Second of all, stop sending hate mail to Dave Navarro. He's a good guy. You know, he's got a tough job. He really loves me, too. We have the best. If you ever came to a taping, you don't get to see the whole thing, but he and I have the most fun. They have to stop so many times and go, okay, we have to do that again because... You know, we start talking about, you know, you can imagine Dave Navarro and I, our conversation about whatever, being spanked and whatnot, what comes out of that.
I got to tell you that from an outsider perspective, it does from time to time appear that Dave Navarro is a gigantic douche.
And perhaps there's a website by that same name.
There might be a website actually called that, by the way, Jay. There might be. I wouldn't know anything about that, but there might be DaveNavarroIsAGiganticDouche.com.
He's really not. Well, he's really not. He doesn't, you know, he sat us down early on and said last season he was really close to the cast and he hung out with the cast. But then he said on elimination nights he wanted to go home and just kill himself because he was so attached to us. And it's such a high-pressure situation. He sees what we go through. So he's been really hands-off this season. But he really respects us all, and it's really clear. And, you know, he can be rude, he can be rough, but he's always articulate, he's always straightforward. And I love the guy, I really do. I mean, I don't know what kind of relationship I'm going to have with any of those people if I don't win, but for the time being, they're great guys.
Well,
they really are.
I got to say that I don't want to dwell on last week, whereas you kind of prefaced with the fact that, as you said, you got really spanked and whatnot. First of all, this is not us blowing sunshine anywhere. It wasn't a bad performance at all. I mean, it's the thing about that song is so married to camp, and it's just so burned out, and it's the song itself comes with so much baggage that I Will Survive that it's hard to do. But I got to tell you, all of us watching it seemed very much... to everyone that I talk to, and I think Sarah would tell you the same thing, that their criticism of your performance, it just seemed really contrived. It seemed like...
It seemed really staged.
It seemed like someone had told them, you gotta knock Storm this week. So find a way to do it.
Yeah, I got the feeling of that as well, and my conspiracy theory mind was rolling. I was going, I wonder if maybe they're testing my fan base by slamming me and see what happens. I wonder if they just had to slam somebody, and they put that song there to see if people would, to try and get people to fight more. They want people to fight over songs, and none of us really do that. I always end up with songs. I'm like, you don't want it? I'll do it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they couldn't find anything specific to criticize. It was just a lot of looking at the floor and going, well, it didn't really work for me, which means nothing, which is pointless.
Right.
And
it's just getting really frustrating to see you do a decent performance and then, like, Delana, just everyone's blowing smoke up her ass every week about how wonderful she is and how good. It's just so, like, the crowd has turned on that girl, my friend. I'm just not a fan anymore.
I got to tell you, watching, and look, and
everybody loves the underdog, man. Everyone loves the underdog, and so there's a lot of us.
Watching that woman sing is just like having my junk slammed in a drawer over and over and over again. It's true. Look, and
the image, like us sitting here and listening to her singing on the radio, where it's like we couldn't even tell if it's a man or a woman.
She sounds like a member of the Lollipop Guild. And you can quote me. You can tell her I said that, by the way. That and her, like, her Ronnie James, Stevie Nicks, like, I'm so spooky, kind of a, her mannerisms.
Yeah.
They're just, I'm not trying to bust on her just to be mean, but it seems like the amount of praise lavished on her is completely disproportionate to what she's doing.
It frightens me, and I've talked to her about this, and she's ready for it if it comes, but it frightens me because I was worried that they were setting her up.
It kind of sounds like they are. Especially...
And if they're doing that, I think that's just about the cruelest thing I've ever heard of in my life, and I will walk off the show if they do it, because...
When you say
really,
setting her up, what do you
day,
mean?
She's my friend.
What do you
I care about her?
What do you mean when you say they're setting her up?
Meaning, you know, like you say, their slamming of me seemed really staged. It seemed really over the top for no reason.
Right.
They kind of backpedaled the next day. They were kind of like, you know, we love you, Storm, and like really kind of very praising of me, and because there was a backlash. And, but again, you know, who knows what their motivation is on any of this. Genuinely, people love Delana. Genuinely, the band loves Delana. Genuinely, all of us adore Delana. She's a great person, and she's really talented and really, really cool and really loving. And when I say setting her up, it's like there's such an inordinate amount of praise put on her, and she feels really uncomfortable about it, too, sometimes. But,
Well, I don't want
Storm,
to...
Storm, building her up for a big fall, and that if they're doing that on purpose, I will be so irate.
But at the same time, Storm, what you can't see is what we can see, which is on the reality show, and when, in fact, it's not that they're setting her up, she's setting herself up in a big way, and I know that you can't tell, but a lot of people are really disappointed that something that she was saying on the reality show was not brought up at the taping, because she is
right.
not... being a nice girl. Like it,
That's what I figured.
It's a fact, and she's setting herself up.
And I don't
up.
Want, because I don't want you to think that we're just sitting here and reaming on her for no reason.
It's
because
for
I know
a reason.
It, I mean, there is some motivation behind that, both in terms of her singing and in terms of her personal conduct.
And that's all right. You know, I've heard this from many different sources, but I'm just taking it day to day. And, you know, today... I still love everybody, and I'm still just going to conduct myself as a professional. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to stoop. I'm not going to find out. I'm not going to, like, look around right. and try and find crap on people. I know I rule. I may not be right, but I know I rule.
Fantastic.
So whatever, man.
Excellent.
You know?
Well, on the subject of you ruling, my standing question kind of every week, what can you tell us about tomorrow?
Oh, let's see. I tried to fight. No one wanted to fight me because they're all afraid of me, physically, the men, that is. And once again, I kind of rolled, but it's a really hard song. It's kind of a lighter, holding up in the air song.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sticky backseat, crying, undying teenage love, holding the lighter up. Song.
Sarah, do you know what it is?
I do, and it's one of my favorite music videos.
All right.
Yeah, could be. And I did a very good job. It's not my favorite, but pretty much I'm bound and determined to sing Ladylike on this show.
Fight
for the original lady.
That's the moment that a lot of people we talk to they're waiting for that. That's
right. A lot of people out here are, too.
Well, because that's what got you on the show, right, was that song?
That song and my audition and my interviews, yes.
Excellent. Well, we're all kind of...
Oh, yeah, they really dig it, they really want it, and they want me to fight for it, and they're trying to get me to, and I don't know how, really. I don't know how to fight other than boxing, you know, straight up pounding somebody.
Right.
And that's just, you know, kind of illegal, so I can't do it.
All right, well... I mean, I guess all we can say is, you know, keep your head up, as they say. And
keeping my head up, and I'm keeping my heart up because I know I'm at the home stretch. The longest yard is the last yard, and as much as I can.
No.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh.
Wait.
What?
Oh, hello.
You're losing me?
We're losing you there, but.
No. Hello.
All right.
Hear me?
Yes.
Hear us?
Yes. I'm
hey,
back.
Storm, by the way, I have a purse with your face on it that is the envy of everyone at Dante's when we go there. Somebody made it.
It's
You'll
fantastic.
Have to see it when you get back. It's rad.
Fantastic. Some local artist made her a handbag that has your picture on both sides, but it really is fantastic. And I know this sounds like a creepy Silence of the Lambs kind of a thing, but it's beautiful. It really is fantastic.
Oh, that's cool. Nice headbag. That's weird, man.
Exactly. Well, continue. Good luck. We will talk to you soon. Stay strong, sister. We will speak to you very soon, and good luck. All right?
Right on, guys.
All right.
Thank
Portland
you
loves
so
you.
Much.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Storm Large, rock star, supernova.
I'm sorry. I couldn't stop myself.
About what about the Delana thing?
About the
thing?
Delana thing.
I just
so she's Delana's setting herself up.
Well,
to
you
fail.
Can do it. I can't. See, I feel like I
I'm
have to
all,
be.
I'm like red faced and hot because like she's you know Delana's pretending to be Storm's friend and she's like talking so much trash.
Well,
about
and
her.
I and it's I feel like a you know I feel like a jerk. I'm like opening my mouth and I'm like Delana sucks and she can't sing and then Storm but Storm is so nice and she always just comes back with the well Delana is so great and we're all such and I'm like. I feel like such an a-hole, like, reaming on Delana to her, but it's like, but you know, I mean, you know, what are you going to do, you know? So, I mean, boys, I got to tell you, man, Storm really sounds stressed out, though. Mm-hmm. She sounds, I mean, she's whole, I mean.
Well, because those people were her comfort zone, and now they're kind of.
I mean, I'm not saying that I did, I mean, Storm obviously, you know, she's got big brass ones, and she'll keep it together, she'll whatever, but I think you can hear as the weeks go on, there's just a really stressful, really wearing kind of a thing to go through. It just, she, you can tell that it is a thing that just wears you down after a while.
Reading the article on her today, a little bit of it, she's already lost 15 pounds just being down there.
You're kidding me.
Mm-hmm, from the stress yeah. and.
That happens to everyone who enters.
Wait, what's that?
That happens to everyone who enters.
They just put Ipecac in the water. I think it's Storm's joke actually. So, yeah, but apparently she's engaged now. So there you go. All right. 503-733-2970. Should we break? Are we behind?
Yes, we're very behind.
All right.
About a half an hour.
Good times. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the City Desk. I got to do the Weekend Geek. I'm going to do that right here. I don't care how late we are. So, oh, is this the song?
That is the song.
Okay, Sarah has handed me, right there, a folded piece of paper with this week's song that Storm sings.
You're going
to
love it.
And when we come back, I'll try to guess it. All right, here's what we're going to do. Sarah, I'm going to play the Weekend Geek, because we're already late. I'll play the Weekend Geek. We'll come back. I will try to figure out what Storm sings this week. Tim Riley at the City Desk. Peter Carlin coming up for the Oregonian. Lycus at 3. And coming possibly today. Possibly today, but more likely tomorrow. We have a major announcement. About...
And it's not a listener party.
It's not a listener party. And it's not about somebody we know getting on a reality show. That was the last big announcement. It's the Storm thing. So we have a major announcement. We'll try to get to that sometime today. It's 503-733-2970. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hello, this is Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com. And since I am still recovering from the debauchery of the Snakes on a Plane world premiere, this is the completely theme-free version of The Week in Geek. Well, it would seem like Amazon.com is going to be taking a stab at downloadable films as screenshots have been leaked from their new download feature service. But at $9.99 a pop with no extras and no bonus features and no surround sound, and once again, being limited to your computer, this will be one of many attempts at downloadable films that will inevitably fail. Speaking of downloadable films, there's a new product on the horizon that's going to make that 10 times simpler. Or 100 times simpler. It's going to make it easier. The Asus WL-700GE is basically a wireless router, which is nothing special, except for the fact that the Asus WL-700GE will allow you to download BitTorrents while your computer is off. Now, your friendly neighborhood geek would never recommend downloading such things, as using BitTorrents is illegal. Although a recent poll suggests that 76% of you do not believe that. So suck on that, Lars Ulrich. And finally, starting this Friday, August 25th at the Hollywood Theater, is the month-long film festival called They Came from Japan. A celebration of modern Japanese cinema playing in August and September at the historic Hollywood Theater in Portland, Oregon. All the films showcased have been made since the turn of the millennium. You can find out more at HollywoodTheater.org. I'm Aaron Duran of the Super Happy Atomic Fun Time Geek in the City, and this has been The Week in Godzilla!
The Week in Geek. Only from the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.